Good morning, Transformation Church. Hey, in your home right now, I want you to clap your hands. I want you to give God a shout of praise. Come on, right there. In your home, man, today I feel the presence of God in this place, and I know it's in your place. And this is what I want to do. I want you to text in the comments. I want you, because there's thousands of you watching right now. Where are you watching from? I'm seeing it right now. There's Texas and Houston and Africa, and there's Kansas and California and New York. Come on, I want to know where you're watching from. The reason I want to know that is because in this moment right now, there is unity happening all over the world. And as we get into the Word of God today, I just want to let you know that what God is doing right now in this season, as everything seems like it's going crazy, I really do believe that God is bringing you into a place where He's trying to speak to you. He's trying to join us as a church and allow us to be everything that God called us to be. And so I am so excited that you are here today, because we are starting week two of a series that we're calling Help Me, Who's the Minister Here? Come on, I want you, if you're watching with somebody, say, you're the minister. Point at somebody right now and say, you're the minister here. And if you're by yourself, I want everybody to say, I'm the minister here. Come on, say it one more time. I'm the minister here. And I really do believe that that is what God wants all of us to know, is that no matter what sphere of influence we are in, no matter what God has done in the past and what He wants to do in the future, He has put you in that place, at that job, in that school, because you're supposed to be His minister right there. And today, I want to take this thing one step further. We are about to go, and I'm pumped up right now, because I am about to preach to you with everything I got. I need everybody to know, if this is your first time on the live stream, there's nobody in this big old auditorium, and the word that God has given me and that's brewing in my heart right now is about to come into your house. So if you hear something or feel something that's good, I want you to talk out loud, okay? The technology worked last week, and I felt your prayers, I felt your amens, I felt it. And we gonna do it again, because the kingdom of God is voice activated. And I am so excited, because it's not about a building. It's about what God is building in you. And so today, as we go further in this series, I want to say thank you to every minister that took the call to be ordained. Earlier this week, we did something kind of fun on Friday night. We had fun online, and a lot of people joined me for an ordination service. But though there was a lot of fun things that happened, the one thing that I know is, number one, people got saved that night. And number two, thousands, tens of thousands of people said, I'm going to step up and be the minister. Now, as a pastor, as the minister's Mr. Miyagi, the one who's supposed to help you, I want to go back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And I want to see if we can't take this thing a little bit deeper, that we don't just answer the call, but then we walk worthy of the calling that God has placed on our lives. And this is what I want to say to everybody who's watching for the first time. And maybe you're feeling like what you've done and who you've been and who you've been with has disqualified you. No, I want to tell you right now that God is looking at you and said, I factored in all your flaws. And at the moment that you repent and turn back to me, that's the moment I can use you. Somebody needs to hear this. Somebody's pulling on me right now. That's the moment I can use you to do everything that I called you and created you to do. So this is for you. Repent, turn. That's all that means. And God says, and I will use you. And this is how I want to use you. I want to use you to be my minister. So Ephesians chapter 4 is going to teach us. Go to that. And today I want to read it out of the Message version, because the imagery, the graphics were so vivid in this, and I think it'll help us get it. It says, and he handed out gifts above and below. This is God. He filled heaven with gifts, and then he filled earth with his gifts. He handed out gifts of, these are the gifts, of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, a lot of times we've made those the goal, but those are just gifts. Like being the apostle, the pastor, those are gifts that God wants us to have to be able to serve people. That's not the goal. The goal is not to be Bishop Michael Todd. The goal is not to be Apostle Natalie. The goal is not to be Archbishop Charles. No. The goal is to be a gift to other people. So I just need to talk to some people right now. If you carry the title of pastor, apostle, teacher, bishop, you're supposed to be serving, not be served. Uh-oh. You want to ask about it? Ask Jesus, the greatest one in the world. And his words were, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve. And this is why I'm saying, if you're in a place of prominence, if you're a CEO, if you're a father, if you're the mother of the house, whatever you are, your biggest qualification is not being served. It is being one who is a gift that serves others. And that's what God says right here. So he said, I handed out all these gifts for one reason. To train Christ followers or ministers in skilled what? Servant work. With each other. It says working within Christ's body, the church. Not the organization, but the organism. He said until we're moving rhythmically. I love that. And easily with each other. Efficient and graceful in response to God's Son. Look at this. Fully mature adults. Fully developed within and without, fully alive in Christ. No prolonged infancy. My God, we got to come back to that in just a second. Among us, please, we'll not tolerate babes in the woods because woods for babies are dangerous, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Small children who are an easy mark for imposters or the enemy. God wants us, watch this, to grow up. To know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. What area do you need to be like Christ in? In every area. What area do you need Christ to be modeled in your life? In your business and how you talk to people, how you love other people, how you forgive people. It's got to be like Christ. That's our example. And then it says to us, he says, we take, verse 16, our lead from Christ. Who is the source, not a resource. And I have to stop there because many of you this week, it just got real. It got real that what you thought was your source is now drying up. And you're waiting on a stimulus package to be able to give you hope. But the one thing that you got to understand is that $1,200 is not going to sustain you. But the God of the universe will. He's Jehovah Jireh. He is my source. He is not my resource. He made birds feed Elijah when there was a famine in the land. And God's saying, if famine comes, I'll still provide for you. When famine comes, I'll still be your God in the middle of nothing. I can bring water out of rocks. I can provide manna from heaven. I'm that God. Somebody say, I serve Jehovah Jireh. Somebody needs to know that I serve Jehovah Jireh. And he says that Christ is our source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we, here's the reason, we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. That is some good Bible right there. I don't know what you like, but I like good Bible. Bible, I don't even really have to preach, but I got about 35 more minutes, so I'm going to go ahead and preach this today. Now, I've never seen verse 14 before, and it messed me up because it like hit me. The word said that if we're going to be God's ministers, if we're going to answer the call, if we're actually going to go into the spheres of influence that God has called us to go into, we can have, look what verse 14 says, no prolonged infancy. The crazy thing about it is most people in the body of Christ, after they get saved, they stay in the infancy of their salvation for decades. They stay in the place where they're just trying to see, is this sin or not? Can I Netflix and chill with them and steal? Is this sin or not? We're staying on the edge. And God's saying, why would you live your life in the infancy of salvation, in the infancy of Christianity? He's saying, I don't want my ministers to live in a place of prolonged infancy. I don't want no old babies. And the problem is you think that your age means that you've matured, but you are an old Christian baby. I'm gonna need security. People are going to have to understand that it's time for us to mature. It made me think about this old song that I used to hear all the time, and literally it got stuck in my head. This may date me a little bit, but before Amazon and before all of the online shipping, if you were a kid and you wanted a toy, there was only one toy store that you go to. Does anybody know what it is? Come on, say it out loud. Toys R Us. You already knew. Like, Toys R Us was the best. For all the young people that don't understand what a Toys R Us was, before Amazon killed all the big box stores, you used to go to this warehouse like Walmart, but there was nothing there except every toy you've ever seen on Nickelodeon, Disney, and everything. And you could play with them, you could try them out, you could play video games. It was like the free version of going to do some amusement park or something like that. It was amazing. And the thing I remember about Toys R Us the most is their theme song. And this theme song had a very distinct melody, but the words were even more powerful, and it made me and reminded me of this thing, no prolonged infancy. Everybody, just listen to the words of this theme song.
I don't want to grow up on a Toys R Us kid. They got a million toys and Toys R Us that I can play with. I don't want to grow up, I'm a Toys R Us kid. They got the best for so much less, you really flip your lid. From bikes to trains to video games, it's the biggest toy store there is.
Gee whiz!
I want you to hear what they said. The words were, I don't want to grow up. I just want to be a kid. Because if I grew up, I couldn't be a Toys R Us kid. That reminded me of many believers. That they feel like, I don't want to grow up. I don't want to go to the next level. I don't want to actually have to forgive those people who did me wrong. I want to stay in a place where I can be and throw tantrums when I don't feel it. Uh-oh. I want to be in a place where I can act like I'm not responsible when I break things. Like, some of y'all are breaking relationships and breaking trust and break things, and you want to be unresponsible for that thing. And God told me, he said, all that is, Michael, is prolonged infancy. They're trying to hold on to a season that I've already allowed them to have the power to grow up out of, but they're deciding, I don't want to grow up. I just want to be a kid. I don't want to grow up. I don't want to have to take responsibility. I don't want to grow up. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to grow up. I don't want to have to make time to pray. I'm preaching right now. I don't want to grow up. I just want to have my attitude and say, that's just how I am. And God's saying, if you're going to be my minister, I can't have you being a Toys R Us minister. Matter of fact, that's going to be the title of my message. Write that down. Toys R Us ministers. Because I want to make it very clear that God in this hour is not looking for us to stay in the place where he saved us. He's looking for us to mature past that place so we can reach back and get other people who were in that place. But it's hard to take somebody where you have not gone. And it's hard to lead somebody to a place that you have never, ever dove yourself into. And God is calling us to mature. And I know this is a heavy word. And I know there's some of us that are being like, ah, I don't like that. But I want you to see both sides of it. Because, okay, let me ask you. I need interactive in your home, watching on rebroadcast right now. How many people like promotion? Come on, hands up in the air. You like promotion. You like going to another level. I don't know, anytime when we used to fly airplanes, I loved when I was in a coach seat and I paid for a coach seat, and then they came up and be like, Mr. Todd, you've been upgraded. You've been promoted to first class. And boy, that stroll from F-32 up to the front seat is like a gangster stroll. I don't know what you're talking about, but how y'all doing? Like you go up there and you've been upgraded. Everybody loves upgrade. Everybody loves promotion, but they love the idea of it more than the responsibility of it. Everybody wants to be a minister. They love the idea of that more than they love the responsibility of that. I think about moments where I was promoted. I want to show some of y'all, because we're a hot church. We're humble, open, and transparent. And I remember one of my greatest promotions was when I graduated high school. When I graduated high school, y'all, I shouted, I danced, I did everything. And it was a promotion. And I remember being in school thinking, like, when I get out of high school, life is changing. When I get out of high school, everything's gonna be fine. And literally, when I got out of high school, I realized that that promotion came with other responsibility. That promotion to get out of one level came with a whole nother responsibility that I had to take care of. Let me tell you another one of my promotions. One of the greatest promotions, the greatest promotion other than being saved, was when I married my wife, Natalie, okay? This was my boop, 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 boop. That was my upgrade. But I did not realize all of the responsibility that would come with my greatest promotion. Let me tell you about another promotion that I had when I became the lead pastor of Transformation Church. This was an amazing promotion. And when Bishop Gary handed me the baton, I didn't know that I was getting a whole bunch of responsibility too. And what I had to decide is that I wasn't going to be a Toys R Us minister, that I was going to step into the calling and not just take a title, but take the responsibility. At every level, God is requiring more. And when you get more, that means you have to mature. And that's why I'm telling everybody right now, being in high school was harder than being out of high school. Being married is harder than being single. Some of y'all right now are in this single phase, like, I just want to be married. Baby, listen to me. This is the last season of your life that you get to dictate everything you do without considering somebody else. You better enjoy your singleness. You better wake up at 10, take a 2-hour shower, then go get your hair and nails done, then come back and read a book. You better do that right now, because as soon as you get a wife, as soon as you get a husband, all that is out the window. As soon as you get kids, that gets cut in half again. And what people don't understand is that in the moment that they're wanting something, responsibility comes with every upgrade. And that's why I'm letting everybody know, at each level of promotion, there is a higher requirement to produce. At every time you get a raise, there's another level of responsibility. For every elevation, there is a brand new expectation. Pastor Mike, what are you really trying to say? Write down my first point. Being a minister demands maturity. If you're going to do and be everything that God has called you to be, I'm begging you right now. I'm pleading with you. I'm trying to give you value right now. I want you to mature. Don't be a Toys R Us minister. Don't be one of those that stay at a low level. Don't be one of those that are prolonging your infancy and you won't talk about the things that really are the issue in your marriage, or really the issue between you and your business partner, and really the issue just because you're trying to keep everything. Adults, mature people go towards the problem. They don't run from it. They don't hide from it, because we know if we go through, everybody say through, if we go through this, we're going to be stronger on the other side. And I want everybody to remember what the word God gave us for this year was. It's stronger. And there's no way you can get stronger by being immature. There's no way you can get stronger by avoiding the conflict. There's no way you can get stronger by saying, I don't need counseling. I'm going to just work it out myself. There's no way you can get stronger around it. You only get stronger through it. You cannot get stronger around it. You only get stronger through it. And that's why I want everybody in here to know my only job is to prepare you to be the minister that God has called you to be in government, the minister he's called you to be in the field that he's placed on your heart, in education, in the financial realm. He wants you to be a minister there, but maturity is required for you to be the minister. So what are you saying, Pastor Mike? We have to be maturing ministers who don't fight on Facebook about coronavirus. We got to be maturing ministers that don't cheat on our taxes. See, our actions have to change when you start maturing. You can't be maturing ministers that make advances at people's spouses because you're not getting what you want at home. Uh-oh. I'm talking about real stuff, and I'm talking about stuff that happens in the church, okay? So you think, oh, yeah, that happens there. No, I'm talking about when y'all, anyway, let me stop. You got to be mature ministers that don't talk to your kids anyway, but you speak to them with value and correct them. You don't punish them. You discipline them. You need to be maturing believers that don't gossip and then in the same week try to have a word for that same person. Okay, we need to be maturing ministers that don't hold grudges but actually can live in freedom. We need to be maturing ministers who aren't scared to commit. Instead, we're just Netflixing and chilling. You need to put a ring on it, bro. You need to go ahead and marry her. You need to be able to be the one to commit to the thing. It's time for you to mature. Stop being on the baby food. Stop being on the milk. It is time for you to mature. You need to be a maturing minister that doesn't run to substances for peace. You need to be a maturing minister that not just talks about God, but actually spends time with him. Somebody just say that right now. I have to mature. Don't click off of this. This may be the word that you were looking for to be able to change everything in your life. Somebody say, I have to mature. And that just killed some of y'all right now, because a lot of times pride is a trait of immaturity. Aha! Everybody that just bucked up, he don't know me, you know what I'm saying? He don't know what I need to mature in. No. Hey, baby, literally infant, literally immature person, pride is the thing that's raising up on you. But when you mature, you walk in meekness. And meekness is power under control. Meekness is being submitted. So when God reveals something to us in our heart, and I know I'm coming hard at you, but I'm really trying to raise up an army. Do y'all know the days that we're living in right now? Do y'all know how many people that are passing each day? It's time for the Church of Jesus Christ, not the organization, but the organisms, to stand in their place and make a decision that I will mature. And when you make that decision, God says, okay, we can make something happen. I got to get stronger. I got to move. I think about this story when I got my first car. And y'all know when you get 16, you think about like, yo, I'm grown when I get my own car and I can go where I want when I want to go there and I'm going to be who I want to say. So my parents, they're amazing people. When I was 17, I didn't get when I was 16, but when I was 17, my dad bought me and my older brother a car to share. And he bought us a plum, not purple, a plum Chrysler Sebring with a tan rag top. And I don't care that my car looked like Barney. When I pulled up, couldn't nobody tell me nothing. You hear me? Okay. And we would ride that car around. And I remember vaguely that the day my dad got it, we were so excited. And he handed me the keys. And right as I vaguely remember, because I was running to the car, he said, son, be responsible. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to be responsible. But I didn't really understand what that meant until I ran out of gas for the first time. And when I ran out of gas for the first time, I called my dad, because he's the one who provided the car for me. I was like, Dad, I done ran out of gas. He said, son, I said, be responsible. And this was the moment I was going to mature. He said, if you want to drive the car, you got to put gas in the car. Huh? No, I just thought I was going to be able to drive the car. I thought I was just going to be blessed. But that was the moment where a maturing lesson happened to me that would guard me even today. The blessing always comes with a burden. Somebody needs to hear me say that right now. Every level you're praying for, every blessing you're going to, the blessing is always going to come with a burden. And I didn't know it at that time, but that was the moment I was going to decide to mature. That was the moment I was going to go from an adolescent who got rides everywhere, and I was going to have to take the responsibility to take on the burden as well as the blessing. I know ain't nobody preaching this. I know ain't nobody talking about this. But if you're going to really be the minister in the place that God's called you to be, you can't shy back because there's a burden with it. You got to step forward and say, I'm mature enough for this. I'm responsible enough for this. I can change my life, my schedule, my attitude, my relationships to answer the call of God. And I'm going to take this blessing, but I'm also going to steward over the burden. What are you trying to say? All I'm trying to tell you is that if we're going to mature, the blessing of being the minister has the burden of becoming mature. You're going to have to do some other stuff. You're going to have to change some of your conversations. You're going to have to let some of the friends go that are good for your flesh but are horrible for your faith. You're going to have to make a decision that some of the things that you watch and you see, what would happen if Pastor Mike watched what you watched all this week right before I started ministering to you? Would you trust that I had heard from the Lord? Would you, after what you scrolled through, after the website that you went to, after the things you were thinking, the things you stayed up late at night watching, would that be the thing you would want your minister to give to you? Remember, I'm not the minister here. You're the minister here. So at the times when we're filling ourselves with stuff and then we go to the grocery store and God said, I was trying to use you right there. But there's so much stuff infiltrating your mind and your heart right now that you can't even see past. He said, it's time to mature. It's time to walk worthy of the calling that I've placed on your life. I feel the presence of God right now. And I want everybody to hear me. I'm not saying you're immature, but maybe you are. And I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to let you self-identify today, okay? So I'm going to talk about the difference in the next few minutes about being a Toys R Us minister, a Toys R Us minister that doesn't want to grow up, that wants to stay comfortable, and somebody who is a maturing minister. And my prayer is that every person watching this would, by faith, shift over into maturity. Not perfect, but progressing. That you would make a step towards what God has placed you on this earth for. So look again at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. It says he handed out gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to train Christ's followers or ministers in skilled servant work within Christ's body, the church. Watch this. Until we're all moving rhythmically. Rhythm. That means everything's working together. You see, my body is moving. Help me, come on, clap. My body is moving right now at the rhythm that has been set. And God says, until the church starts moving in rhythm and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in your response to God's Son, until we get this thing of unity, he said, you're still not mature. Do you know some of the greatest arguments me and my wife have had never came to a resolution? One of us decided to be more mature. And at the moment one of us decided to be more mature, we came into unity. It didn't matter if she was right. It didn't matter if I was right. The goal was that in our household, we would be walking in unity. So much of the arguing that's happening in the body of Christ, so much of the opinions that are floating everywhere, it's a trap of the enemy that he's trying to keep us ununified. That's why in the garden, he did not approach Adam and Eve and tell them about the fruit. He only approached Eve because if he could get them out of unity just for one second, we could lose eternity in paradise because of division. And God's saying, if you're going to be real mature, unity has to be more important than you. Okay, let me just tell you the points. So if you're a Toys R Us minister, this is what you value. You value being the only one. Yeah, I'm the only one that does it like this. Like, this is me. This is how I am. This is the, and that's what our culture is saying, everybody. Be yourself. Do you. Don't nobody have to agree with you. That is directly against the word of God that says there is a blessing, a commanded blessing. Any place there is unity. And the reason why people's marriages and businesses and ideas a lot of time aren't working is because you value being the only one. There's like this badge you're wearing, like, it's me against the world. And God said, where did you get that from? Jesus didn't come with that attitude. If Jesus would have come with the me against the world attitude, he would have just been going around like, I'm Jesus, the Son of the living God. On April 12th, I'm going to do something ain't nobody ever seen before. I'm going to die. I'm going to raise again. I'm going to heal people. I'm like... It wasn't about him. When he came, he was trying to take others on the journey. He was trying to bring unity so that when he was gone, they could carry the message further. What I'm saying is, if you're a Toys R Us minister, you value being the only one. But if you're a maturing minister, you value being one. Being unified. That analogy of rhythmically working together. I thought about that because I'm a drummer. And one of the things that we all are, what the scripture says, is we are many members of the same body. Now, when I play the drums, I have to use all the members of my body. I have to use both of my hands and both of my feet. Now, what would happen if I sit down to this drum set and all of my body's parts are not doing what they're supposed to do together? So this is doing something. This is doing something. The crazy thing about it is this is what the church looks like and sounds like, because we're all trying to do our own thing. I want to be the one. I want to be the one. I want to be the one. But God says, what would happen if you got into unity? Somebody shout at me, unity. And you started working together. And when you're doing your thing, I'm supporting it. And when you're doing your thing, I'm supporting it. Hey. Unity. What I'm telling somebody is God is looking for his church to be in unity. God wants your marriage to be in unity. God wants your business to be in unity. God wants his church to function in unity. But if you don't value being one whole, but you value being the only one, you're still a Toys R Us minister. And that's why John 17:20, Jesus is talking. And he's praying to God. And look what he says. I am praying. Like all the things he could have prayed. Look what he prayed. I am praying. Not only for these disciples. Not only for the ministers. But also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. So that's everybody that's watching. Look what he prayed for us. I pray that they will be one. I pray that they will be in unity. Just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us. So may all these ministers and everybody they reach be unified in us. So look at the reason. So that the world will believe you sent me. The only way people know that Jesus is who he said he is, when people of different economic backgrounds, of different ethnicities, of people who have different beliefs in certain things come together around the one name of Jesus, and they say there's no way they should be working together, but there's unity there because Jesus is there. I'm asking you right now to grow up. I'm asking you right now to mature and to get off of this petty back and forth, I'm right, I'm the one, we're the only ones. No, we want to be one. Somebody shout at me, unity! Okay, let me tell you another thing that I found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. That tells you the difference between a Toys R Us minister, somebody who doesn't want to grow up, doesn't want to mature, or a maturing minister. Listen, it says, until we are moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient, graceful, in response to God's Son. Look at this. Fully mature adults, fully developed, watch this, within and without. See, I need everybody to understand that God is not trying to do just a work for people to see. He would like the work to start within and then be a product without. He wants it to be in you and then he wants it to come from you. He wants it to be innate and then he wants you to export it. And this is what God is saying. Toys R Us ministers value how it's packaged, the outward, and maturing ministers value what's in the package. God wants you to be valuable on the inside and the out. I was thinking about Toys R Us, and one of the greatest things that they do at toy stores is they package things well. This thing costs like $80, okay? And every time that I have two daughters, okay? And the crazy thing about my daughters is they don't pick out stuff based on what's actually in it, how cheap it's made, or what's happening. Because they are immature, because they don't know how much stuff costs, because they are still at a smaller level of understanding, the only thing they pay attention to is the packaging. When they walk around, they're like, oh, that looks nice. Oh, that could be cool. I can't tell you how many dollars I've wasted on things like this. No offense, Barbie. But things like this that cost a bunch of money because they spent a good amount of money on the packaging. But as soon as we opened it up, It was in pieces. It wasn't even put together. The least they could do is make it for me. But what happens is we get in a bunch of relationships that look good on the outside, but they're in pieces on the inside. And we come in and we're trying to figure out how it works, and then we have insignificant parts, and then we end up losing pieces of ourselves. Because we're not worried about the value of the contents on the inside as much as we're worried about the packaging on the outside. God is saying that it is time for the church to mature to the place where they do not judge or prejudge or are prejudiced about who he's using based on the outward package. Maybe they don't have all of the words right, and maybe they're not as proficient, and maybe they don't have network. That was your boy. I didn't come from anybody's camp. I didn't have nobody around me. All God said is, yeah, all my dinks, my dents and dings were all still there, but God says, I'm doing a work on the inside of you. And I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but you've been so worried about making sure your Instagram was popping and you had your right friends and everybody saw the packaging, right? And God says, I would rather you be more potent on the inside than just look good on the outside. This right here is what I look like and what many of you look like. The packaging doesn't look like this. There's dents, rips, and scrapes. But when you spend time doing what God's called you to do and actually being the minister, the content on the inside is much more valuable than what it looks like on the outside. This costs so much more than this, but it was put in a package that didn't look like much. And I don't know about you, but some of y'all were born into packages that didn't look like much. Families that didn't look like much. Education that didn't look like much. The first 5 years of your marriage didn't look like much, but God is saying, if you let me work it out, I'll pull something out of you that will be able to be more valuable. And these ministers who are Toys R Us ministers, immature ministers, they're going to keep going for what it looks like on the outside. But I'm looking for a group of ministers that say, I might not have it all together, but I want God to do a work deep within me. And so when it's within me, it can come out of me. Somebody say, get it in me so it can come out of me. Ah, I feel this thing right now. This is why it's time for us as a church to get from external projection, and it's time for us to get to real power. I'm gonna say it again. Don't nobody need no like scripture prayers that don't work. At this moment, ain't nobody looking for somebody who prays and they don't even believe what they're saying. Ain't nobody looking for God is Jehovah Jireh, and then on the next day you freaking out about everything that's happening. God's saying, I want to give you real power, but that work has to be done by the Holy Spirit on the inside. And I just want to give you encouragement. This is not a new problem. Even back in Second Timothy 3:5, it says, they will act religious. They will act like they know me, but they will reject the power that I could actually give them that could make them godly. And this is the warning that the word gives us. Stay away from people who ain't got no power. They may look good, they may project good, but if they ain't got no power, stay away from those type of people. And what I'm encouraging you is right now, in this time of quarantine where the entire country and almost the whole world is shut down, make sure you come out of this time with more on the inside of you than what you're showing. Forget about an Instagram post and an Instagram live. Is there something coming alive on the inside of you? Is there something that's beginning to move? Are you stirring up the gifts that are on the inside of you? And if you don't use this time for that, you're going to come out of this and you're still going to be the same age spiritually. You're still going to be talking about, I just can't wait for the weekend. Huh? You got weekend every day. Some of y'all didn't even know it was Sunday today because you just been at home every day. It's just, the days are just running together. You said, what day is it again? God's given you a bunch of weekends and you still aren't maturing. And it says, stay away from these type of people. Do you know another group of people that he tells us to stay away from? It's in that verse 14. It says, people who prolong their infancy, we can't have them among us. And then it says, please, we can't do that. Why? Because Toys R Us ministers, they value playground companions. See, when you're immature, you want to only deal with people who are on the same level as you so you can keep playing them same childish games. Uh-oh. If you look at all of your friends, you're trying to set up play dates to gossip. play, you're trying to set up play dates with people who will lower the standard just enough for y'all to do something illegal in business, but both of y'all are on the same page, so y'all keep it together. You're looking for a playground companion. And God said, if you're going to be a minister, you got to level up. Some of those relationships, some of those people, some of the ways you've been doing stuff, that was kiddie stuff. But I'm asking that you would grow up and mature and be able to represent me. The reason you got to get your taxes right now is because what I'm about to bless you with in 2021 will expose you. And the level of money you're going to make there, the IRS is going to come check. And so I need you to mature now when it's barely enough to, count up because of what I'm about to do. But you don't want to do that, so you're exposed and you're looking for all these playground companions. And God says, but a maturing minister is not looking for playground companions. They're looking for take ground companions. Somebody that can walk with them and say, hey, you see that over there? By faith, we're about to take this ground. Hey, do you see that right now? That thing is going to be healed. The Bible said we can speak to that thing. Y'all, we got to take ground. And if you don't have some people around you that will take ground with you, you need to find some new friends. That's why I tell people you got to get in small groups. You got to get in belong groups. You got to have community. Because until you get in the place where you got somebody say, come on, let's take that. Let's break that generational habit in our family. That's why you got to marry somebody that'll take ground with you. When I got the vision for this building, I only told about 4 or 5 people. I didn't tell no playground companions. I only told people who had the faith to believe we could take this ground. When it was impossible, when nobody believed it, when we didn't have the money. I told my wife, I told my mama, I told Bree, I told Bishop, and all of them said, if it's God's will, let's take it. And I'm standing on a stage right now because I have the faith to believe with some people who have faith to believe with me. That's why the Bible says iron sharpens iron. Not plastic sharpens iron. If you're iron and you're around somebody who's plastic, which most toys are made of, you end up damaging the plastic and dulling the sharpness of the iron. And some people right now, you're becoming dull because of who you're rubbing up against. And some of you are becoming damaged because of who you're around. And God is saying right now, it's time to get off the playground and it's time to fund somebody who will take ground. Somebody needs to shout hallelujah. No more prolonged infancy. And there's a reason for it. It's not because we don't just want to be around those type of people. It's because it tells us, he said, we can't tolerate babes in the woods. If you took my 2-year-old right now who is unaware and immature in her perception and you put her in the woods, that would be a dangerous place for her. Because she doesn't have the maturity or the understanding, we got to keep babies out of the woods. That's what's happening in so many people's lives. It says small children, they're an easy mark for imposters. They're an easy mark for the devil. And that's why so many of us are going out into the world, into fields of influence, and they turn us out. We get eaten up and spit back out because we're sending babes who don't know the word, who don't have a conviction, who don't have an anchor in Jesus, who do not have the maturity that they need out into the music industry. And they went in saved and they come out, they went in quoting scriptures, now they're cussing you out. They went in with a generous heart, now they're selfish. It's because if you're not mature enough to go into the woods where there's wolves and bears and lions, oh my, you understand what I'm saying? If you don't go into that space ready to be able to fight, mature enough to understand the situations you're walking in, he said, you're an easy mark for the enemy. And many times the church is full of people who went out immature. They got a call from God to be a minister, but they didn't take the time to mature. And so they went out and they got hurt. They got scarred. And many of us, it's been a lot of the leaders' faults because we haven't equipped you for the type of work that you're supposed to do. That's why I'm preaching this series, because I'm not the minister here. You're the minister here. But then you got to come back and let me teach you the word so that you can be prepared for the fight that you're going to have to give out there. I'm not going to send you into the woods or into the world or into your business or into government unprepared, not knowing the word of God, because that's the only thing that's going to allow you to be able to withstand the attacks of the enemy. And the crazy thing about it is Toys R Us ministers are easy targets, but maturing ministers are taking shots. And I'm tired of believers and ministers not maturing, because when you mature, you know when to shoot your shot. When you mature and you understand what's happening, God has spoke to you and you know he tells you stuff like be strong and courageous. That's your land. Possess that land. When we go back to this building and they were trying to show me other buildings to look at, and I said, no. God's given me a word. I've spent time with him. I've been in his face. I've been holding on to this in crazy faith. And I told them, don't show me no more Kmarts. I don't want no poles. Don't call me until it's about this building. I'm about to shoot my shot. I'm not going to allow the enemy to make me back up. I'm going to advance the kingdom of God. But you only can advance something that you are confident in. Yeah. And too many believers have not taken the time to mature. So when we get out in the world or in the woods, we're an easy target. But I'm telling you, it's time for us to mature. Somebody say, I'm going to mature. Woo! Something's building on the inside of you. Ephesians 4:14. Then we will no longer be immature. That same verse in the NLT says, listen, we will no longer be immature like children. Listen, we won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. That's where everybody's at right now. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. See, this is the problem. When you anchor your life on Jesus Christ and you mature in that and that anchor starts going down, you don't have to be tossed. See, right now, every sailor understands the idea of an anchor, that when a storm comes and it's blowing and it's making everything move, you drop your anchor on the thing that can keep you standing there. And I don't know about you, but some of us haven't matured enough to actually have an anchor. So we're out on the boat looking good, cruising, but when the storm comes, we capsize because we don't have anything that, oh God, anything that's keeping us grounded. But I declare by the power of the Holy Spirit that this is the time where ministers are going to mature and we're going to drop our anchor on the word of God. Coronavirus, drop your anchor. Financial problems, drop your anchor. People leaving, drop your anchor. We don't have enough, drop your anchor. And when you drop your anchor, when you drop your anchor, it says that maturity will allow different teachings to come and they'll go. People will try to trick you with schemes and gimmicks, but they'll go. And I'm telling you, this is why maturity is so important for every minister that's watching this and hearing this, because God is saying, I want to take you out there, but I don't want you to capsize. I want to use you and all those things I've shown you in your heart, but if you don't spend this time maturing, it's going to damage you more than you're going to reach destiny. So Toys R Us ministers, they value what sounds like the truth. And maturing ministers, they value the only truth, which is the word of God. I'm begging every person. Everybody, they say, statistically have increased their social media usage almost 50% since Corona has come into our world. I'm just asking you to dial back what every other word is saying and get lost in the word of God. Why, Pastor Mike? Because more information won't mature you. Only revelation will. People have told me things for years that I needed to do. But when God told me in his word, when he showed me something that convicted me, when he gave me a revelation that that's you, you're acting in pride or you're walking in this or this, that revelation revealed truth. It changed or transformed my life. It made me mature. There are many things. I keep talking about me and my wife because a lot of y'all are in situations where this is the most time you spent with your spouse in years. And you're like, who did I marry? Oh, my God. But what I'm saying to you is in this season, you need to stop fighting each other and you need to ask God, what does he want to change in you? Yeah, y'all are now forced to be in each other's space. Some of y'all, this is the exact thing that God needed you to have because you've been able to ignore what's been festering in your relationship out of busyness. But God is trying to not just allow you to heal. He wants you to be whole. Yes. Remember, unity is the first point of this whole thing. When you mature, you want unity. And what I'm telling you is there are some times that you're going to communicate with your husband, your wife, your children, And you're going to be able to say, you know what? Just talking to you is not going to change this. Convincing you about this is not going to change this. There's many times I've been stubborn about something, and my wife said, Michael, I don't care what you say. I'm going to God about this. She like telling God on me. And I promise you, I'll be stuck to my ways. I'll be like, I ain't never changing this. I'll get in prayer 2 days later, and the Holy Spirit's saying, like, you're prideful. You're doing the wrong thing, and I'm going to show you this in Scripture. And I come back to my wife and be like, baby, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I just want to be where you are. Just hold me in your bosom. Like, that's what I do in that moment, because not because she changed me, but when I hold on to not what sounds like the truth, but I hold on to the only truth. That's the only thing that can mature me and make me change. And God's saying, I want to send you. I want to send you to be my ministers in entertainment, in government, in education, in the finance, on Wall Street. I want to send you in the tech industry. But I can't have Toys R Us ministers there. I can't have immature ministers there. I got to have maturing ministers there. And that's why in verse 16 it says, we take our lead from Christ, who is our example, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His breath and his blood flow through us. This is the reason why we have to mature. Look at it right here, the end of the verse. It says it's nurturing us so that we will grow up. Everybody shout at me, grow up. Come on, say grow up. He doesn't just want us to grow up, but he wants us to grow up in a certain way. Grow up healthy in God. Robust in love. Let me give you my last point. Toys R Us ministers value staying the same. I don't want to grow up. I just want to be a kid. I don't want to grow up. I just want to have my anger. I don't want to grow up. I just want to be an individual. I don't want to. And whatever your immature statement is, God's saying, that's just exposing that you're a Toys R Us minister. He said, but maturing ministers value growing up healthy. And today I'm just asking everybody not to just accept the call to be the minister here, but accept the responsibility that comes with this raise. Accept the promotion and accept what's going to have to change in your pride. I want everybody listening to me to mature. How do we mature? By spending time with God. By cutting off distractions. Look what John 3 says, 1 and 2. Dear friend, or 3 John. It says, dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in the spirit. What that means is your spirit health and your physical body should be equally as strong. And I know there's people right here that do a lot for their physical body, and their spirit man is scrawny and weak. And there's a lot that do a lot for their spiritual body. I know people who can pray the heavens down but will die 20 years early from diabetes because they won't make sure their soul is in health and their body is in health. What God is saying for all of us, he's like, I got big plans for my ministers. You're going to be out in the world. You're going to be changing stuff. You're going to do stuff. But I need something for you. I need you not to think immaturely about this. We're playing for the long haul. I want you to be effective for so many years. So I need you to physically be healthy, and I need you to be spiritually healthy. That means anything that's toxic, anything that is over-sugared, anything that is so good to my flesh, everything that I love in my actual flesh, he's saying that's the thing that's going to cause you not to be able to do everything I've called you to do. And I'm looking for ministers that will accept the call to mature. I know this is a heavy word right now, but my greatest days of effectiveness are right in front of me because I'm deciding to put away the childish things. You know that scripture when it says, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I talked like a child, I spoke, I interacted as a child. But when I matured, here's the decision. I put away childish things. Why do you put away childish things? So you can fulfill the call that is on your life. I want to pray for you right now. Hands lifted all over. I don't care if you're in high school, middle school. I don't care if you're a senior citizen or a senior saint. I need you to know that the word of God, this is not a sexy word. This is a transformative word. This is a word that if it gets down in your heart and you would stop doing the things that a childish minister would do, would you put all of them up on the screen for me? See, a Toys R Us minister is being the only one. Only cares about how it's packaged, the outside. Only cares about and values the playground companions, what sounds like the truth, and staying the same. God says, by faith, I want you to shift, and I want you to become a maturing minister that is more concerned and values being one or being in unity, concerned about what is in the package, not just what's out, is concerned and values take ground companions, people that'll have faith with you, and as valuing that the only truth, which is the word of God, and values growing up healthy. God says, I can take you to any sphere and use you. Today, I want you to lift your hands because I'm about to pray that we would answer the call to mature in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray for every person listening and watching right now. I thank you that right now in this moment, you are moving in their hearts, Father God. Somebody's heart has been closed this whole time, but right now a crack just happened. And I'm thanking you right now in the name of Jesus that they are going to become the ministers you called them to be. Your word says that it would be our duty and our honor to walk worthy of what you've called us to. So I'm speaking to every distraction. I'm speaking to all selfishness. I'm speaking, Father, to everything that has given us excuses. Father, by your Son and in your blood, we have been made new. All things have passed away. And today, Father, I thank you that we step in and own our calling as maturing ministers, that we will no longer be tossed to and fro by what the news says and what Corona says and what finances said, but we will drop our anchor on the word of God. And I declare and I believe, Father, that families are getting stronger right now, that singles are getting stronger right now, that businesses are getting stronger right now, not because of the work you're doing on the outside, but because of the work you're doing on the inside. Today, God, in our homes, we surrender to you. On podcasts, we surrender to you. Taking a walk, we surrender to you, God. We stop and say, mature us, God. Let us not be stuck in prolonged infancy, but today, make our marriages, our lives, our perspectives mature in you. We trust you. We believe you. And we thank you that this will not be by might or by power, but the only way this can happen is by your Spirit, God. And so we need you. We invite you in. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, everybody just watching right there in the comfort of your home, if you've never invited the power source into your life, remember it says people acted righteous, but they denied the power of God. Today, I want you to not just be a good person. I want you to invite the power of God into your life. And it's so simple. All you have to do is ask God, according to Romans 10:9, to come in. Believe that he saved you and sent his Son. Repent. Like, and all that means is turn. Like, if I was going this direction, I'm just turning. God says, I want you to turn to me. Today and all throughout this week, there will be people getting saved at this moment. There are family members in the room with you right now. There are family members you sent this link to. That's why it's so important to share what God's doing, because this is the thing that can change somebody's eternity. Today, I want to pray for you. If you're saying, Pastor Mike, I no longer want to be in control of my life. I no longer want to be the one that's controlling everything that's happening. And I want the God of the universe to get in the details of my life. If you want to pray this prayer with all of us, I want you to just slip your hand in the air real quick. It doesn't matter if anybody's standing next to you. It doesn't matter who's around. Just slip your hand in the air. Even if you're in the room by yourself, just slip your hand in the air. You could put it down. God saw that. It don't matter if anybody else sees it. See, this is the greatest decision you could ever make. It's the decision that took me from being a liar, a manipulator, one who was addicted to pornography, had a lot of darkness in my heart, was doing things wrong, cheated on my wife before we became married, caused all this pain, all that stuff. God took all of that, and when I made this decision for real, not for an outward appearance, but so God could do an inward work on me, it didn't make me perfect, but boy, I started progressing. And that is the promise that I give you today. Through this pandemic we're walking through, God says you'll never walk alone. I'll go through it with you. And today, I want to let you know that you just made the greatest decision of your life. Transformation Church, all over the world, we're about to pray this prayer together. And I want you to know that this is when heaven rejoices. This is when people start their journey to becoming the minister. Who's the minister here? The people who are about to give God their life. Come on. All over this world, let's pray this prayer together out loud. I want everybody to say it. Say, God, thank you for sending your son, Jesus, just for me. Today, I relinquish control. I give it to you. I believe you lived, you died, and you rose again just for me. Today, I make you my Lord and Savior. Change me, renew me, transform me. I'm yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, listen, there are thousands of people who just made that decision in your house, right where you are. Come on, right now. Can we rejoice with heaven? Turn up with heaven. And let's give God praise for brand new family, brand new ministers. Can I tell you the most exciting thing? Is that 2 weeks ago, over 570 people gave their life to Christ. You thought the church was closed? No, baby. The building is closed, but the church is wide open. Last week, over 350 people gave their lives to Christ. And I'm believing right now that as you're going to text this number that comes on the screen, I want everybody to do it who just made that decision or rededicated their life. I want you to text this number. We're going to give you resources. We're going to help you. We're going to be providing content all throughout the week. We have a YouTube with tons of resources. Go back and watch Damaged Goods. Go back and watch Grace Like a Flood. Go back and watch Crazy Faith. Go back and let that word saturate you so you can begin to mature. Go back and watch Charged Up. I'm giving you these resources because one thing about a baby is babies are fed. Adults find their own food. Let's stop right there. I don't even need to do that. But I'm just encouraging you through the week. Don't wait for Sunday for me to feed you. All throughout the week, be going to God. Find content. Allow him to feed you so that you can mature. The only way a baby can grow is by eating. And what I'm saying is, the only way that you can grow is by eating the word of God. Today, I'm so proud of you. I love you and I believe in you. I'm going to pray a blessing over you. And this is what I'm asking you all through this week. Just ask the Holy Spirit, what are you trying to say to me through this message? Some of y'all going to watch this back. Some of y'all going to send it to people. What are you trying? Some of y'all going to meet in groups over Zoom and FaceTime. But the question is, what are you trying to say to me, Holy Spirit? Father, I bless you for the words you gave today. I thank you for every person that came into salvation. God, I feel your presence right now. God, I thank you that in this moment that everybody watching and everybody listening, Father God, that you are taking them to another place in you that is not even worthy of being compared to what you're about to do. God, I thank you right now that this will be the best week of their life. No matter what comes, no matter, Father God, what bad news comes, we drop our anchor in you. Father, I thank you that transformation in Christ is happening all over the world right now. Father, we will continue to represent you and be your ministers every place that we go. We trust you, we believe you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we agree. Somebody say amen. Hey, when they ask you who's the minister here, you say, I'm the minister here. Somebody say, I'm the minister here. Hey, we love you, we're praying for you, and we will see you right back here next week. Let's go out and live a transformed life. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for watching Transformation Church's YouTube. And I just want you to take another step. If this is feeding you, join Transformation Nation. That's everybody that doesn't live here in Tulsa watching live with us on Sunday mornings. Gather your family, let's make this thing an every week situation. And please, share. Share if it has impacted your life. There is somebody that is waiting for you to share this with them. And transformation is only a click away. And there's one more thing I would ask you to do. Pray about giving. If you want to help us take this message all around the world and represent God to lost and found people for one reason, transformation in Christ, you can do that right now by clicking the give button. I cannot wait to see you the next time we're here. Live a transformed life.